Eddie, the Mechanic. Chapter 5. The Winter Track Season, Part 3. The next day, many of the team members were too sore to run or work out, so Dr. Braun cancelled practice. The day after the team's day off, however, brings a different story. With the athletes sitting on the bleachers, Dr. Braun addresses the group, announcing, "Now that everyone had a vacation yesterday, today it's back to business. How many of you enjoyed the workout 2 days ago with the training sled?" Not a peep is heard. Dr. Braun exclaims, "Good. That means everyone had a great workout. We'll be doing a lot more of that in the future." That is not exactly what some of the runners wanted to hear. But you don't train in order to lose, which many of them have been doing all too often. Moving on to today's workout, Dr. Braun explains to the team the interval training workout Eddie described to him 2 days ago. The team then heads outside to the track to run the drill. Some of the team members are happy not to see the resistance sled today. What awaits them out on the track, however, is equally as unmerciful as the workout they had 2 days ago. As the team runs the drill, Dr. Braun, Coach Herndon, Dr. Paxton, and Mrs. Owens pay close attention to each runner, making sure no one slacks off, and does their sprints at the proper time. Why the runners are running outside today, as opposed to in the arena, is simple. Dr. Braun was convicted by Eddie's comment regarding how McCutcheon can only run when the temperature is between 68 and 72 degrees at 50% relative humidity. Some of the team members need to be toughened up. During the drill, an unofficial competition seems to develop between some of the team members. The two distance runners, Barbara and Johnson, seem to push each other to their limit. Stone has joined them, adding synergy to the group. Kathy, Paula, and Janice run the sprinting drill together, also pushing each other to their limit. Yet others, such as the McCutcheon brothers, are sandbagging, putting in less than the desired level of effort. In response to those who are not seemingly working too hard, Coach Herndon yells out, "Some of you are slacking off, and don't think I don't see you." Calling out a few names, Coach Herndon yells out to them, "If you don't start moving faster, you'll be back on the resistance sled inside of 5 minutes." Not surprisingly, the McCutcheon brothers were among the slackers. After Coach Herndon's announcement, everyone's pace picks up considerably. With the majority of the team on partial scholarship, they have little avenue for complaints. The students on full scholarship, such as Kathy, Paula, Janice, Johnson, and Stone, seem to have no problem pushing it to the limit. After the workout, Kathy tells Paula, "It's nice to be back to getting a real workout." Paula replies, "Yeah. Eddie really worked over McCutcheon on Monday. Maybe the guys will win something come the spring." Kathy points out, "Well, at least Johnson and Stone will win." With some good news, Paula comments, "And some of the guys are a lot better than they were last year. Maybe some better workouts are all they need." Kathy informs Paula, "When Eddie was here on Monday, he told Dr. Braun all about Mr. Fraser's workouts, which are kind of like the ones Mr. Harris also does at the middle school." Abruptly changing the subject, Kathy stretches her arms overhead and mentions, "I can't wait for my next massage. I am sore." Paula asks, "What's this? You get massages now?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. And Eddie gets them too sometimes. I got one during our honeymoon on the ship. And Eddie found a massage therapist who works with athletes. Her name is Valeria, and her office is not really too far from here. And after I get a massage, I can move a lot better." Paula tells Kathy, "Yeah, I remember you told me you got a massage on the ship. You'll have to give me her phone number. I suddenly need a massage myself." As they are leaving the locker room, Kathy gives Paula Valeria's card. Knowing Paula, she will be making the call in no time. Eddie, Mark, Braden, Mitchell, and Bobby B have been taking up Dr. Braun on his offer to join the team for track practice. Since they will all be members of the team next year, by attending the practice sessions, they will get to know the team members better. They will also be able to practice their relay handoff skills and stay in top shape. The coaches also prefer to keep on top of gauging each athlete's performance. Today, the new recruits head to the locker room to join the team for a workout. At the university, the football team also has a few practice sessions during the week. Today, the football team heads out to their practice field as the track team heads out to the track to practice outside. After hearing Eddie's lecture a few weeks ago, addressing McCutcheon about the virtues of running in adverse conditions, Dr. Braun has been holding practice outside a bit more this winter. While out on the track, Dr. Braun looks over at the football team, recognizing that the football players practice in the autumn, winter, spring, and summer. Weather is not an issue with the football team, which plays in all types of adverse conditions. Dr. Braun reasons that weather should not be an issue with the track team either. As they are headed out to the track, Eddie and the tribe hear the football coach tell his team, "Everyone, take a few warm-up laps around the track before we get out on the field. Let's see if we can get in a mile or two before we begin practice today." The football team heads to the track, where the track team is receiving today's instructions from Dr. Braun. Hearing the football coach's announcement, Mark asks Coach Herndon, "Hey, can I go mess with the football team when they are running their laps?" Coach Herndon, who is quite amused with the dynamics of the new recruits, replies, "Sure. Go ahead. Take Eddie, Braden, and Mitchell with you, if you want." Since Mark, Eddie, Braden, and Mitchell are not officially on the track team yet, Coach Herndon figures she'd let them have some fun. Besides, Coach Herndon is annoyed when the football team invites themselves to use the track during track practice. Perhaps Mark and his wrecking crew can mitigate that situation. Mark informs Eddie, Braden, and Mitchell about Coach Herndon permitting them to mess with the football team. Mark suggests, "Let's talk with them a little first. We'll figure out who their top dogs are. Then, we'll mess with them and see how out of shape they are." Mark figures that, since the track team was not quite up to their expectations, perhaps the football team is also a little on the deficient side as well. Mark and his crew heads over to the track, where the football team is just getting started taking their first lap. As the football team starts jogging on the track, Mark suggests, "Let's catch up to the leaders. They are probably the top dogs." Braden mentions, "That shouldn't be too hard. My great-grandmother can run faster than these guys, and she died a few years ago." Running along the outside of the track, Mark and the others easily pass the football players, catching up to the leaders. Once they have caught up to the front runners, Mark asks, "Hey, who are you guys?" One guy proudly responds, "We're the football team. I'm Kent Sanford, the running back." With Kent taking center stage, Mark figures this guy is among the alpha males. Setting the guy up, Mark replies, "Wow. You guys must really run fast then." Mark's strategy is to raise the football players up to the level of being an elite athlete, then show them that they are not. Just for fun, of course. Another player chimes in and offers, "Yeah. We are fast. I'm the free safety. And I'm a lot faster than Kent." Kent looks over at the free safety, whose name is Tom Davis, and gives him a dirty look. Eddie astutely recognizes that there might be a little rivalry between Kent and Tom. Eddie comments, "Yeah, I hear that free safeties are really fast." Mark comments, "Running backs are usually faster." Sooner or later, Mark and Eddie's dialogue will hit a weak point in the runners and cause a little bit of friction. And it doesn't take too long for Kent to comment, boasting, "I'm the fastest guy in this school." Mark replies, "Wow. Really? How fast are you?" Braden chimes in, exclaiming, "Wait a second. You shouldn't even be asking them that question. There ain't nobody around here faster than me." Kent, displaying his superiority, boasts, "Oh yeah. Who are you guys?" Braden exclaims, I'm the chiefest kicker. Ain't no one can beat me on this track. No one. Intending to add fuel to the fire, Eddie interjects, except for me. Mitchell suggests, well, we're all on a track. Let's see who the top dog is. Eddie tells Mitchell, I don't know. These guys look really fast. Tom, always wanting to prove that he is faster than Kent, who purports to be the fastest guy in the university, proclaims, well, let's settle the score then. Braden, who is ready to race, exclaims, good. Let's get this as kicking underway. Ain't no one faster than me. As they approach the starting line, Mark asks, what distance? Since running backs and free safeties are best at short sprints, Kent suggests, 100 yards. And, I'm going to win. Mitchell, pointing to the sprinting track, tells the group, there's the track. Let's go for it. The group walks off the oval track and onto the sprinting track. Looking down the track, Eddie comments, wow. 100 yards. Isn't that how long the football field is? Mark, intending to irritate Kent and Tom, replies, yeah. But football players never run in a straight line. And they run through obstacles. Mark yells out to Coach Herndon, hey, can we borrow a starter? Coach Herndon tells one of her student assistants with a starting pistol to go and see what Mark wants. Coach Herndon suspects she knows exactly what is about to happen and excuses herself for a moment. Seeing a sprinting competition about to erupt, Coach Herndon heads to the finish line with her stopwatches in hand. Braden exclaims, let's get this as kicking underway. Braden's comments do not go unchallenged. Kent yells back, whose as do you think you're kicking? I can tell you it ain't mine. Braden hammers his fist on his chest, exclaiming, I'm the chief ass kicker around here. No one kicks my ass. Eddie exclaims, unless I'm around. This is my race. Yours is that little insignificant 440-yard dash. Braden exclaims, then, we're running the 440-yard dash next. Eddie and Braden continue messing with each other, but the football players are totally unaware that they are joking around. Mark informs Eddie and Braden, these guys are football players. You'd finish the race in half the time they do. Braden exclaims, the talk is over. Somebody, fire that gun and let's get this as kicking underway. For some reason, Coach Herndon really likes Braden's energetic personality. At the starting line, the football players are ready to go, positioned as they would be as if on the offensive line. The starter announces, on your marks. Kent and Tom are looking over at the starter, while Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Mitchell get focused. Announcing, set, the starter waits for the football players to get set in the blocks, which it appears they've never done before. The gun is fired, and the six runners, with way too much adrenaline, are explosively out of the blocks. The track athletes take a quick and early lead, prompting the football players to respond quickly and step up their game. At 50 yards, Eddie leads the pack, with Mark right behind him. Braden trails Mark by a yard or two, with Mitchell slightly behind Braden. The football players lag far behind. At the finish line, Eddie crosses first, with Coach Herndon documenting his time. Mark finishes in second place, with Braden taking third place. Mitchell, who is not a sprinter, delivers a respectable performance and manages to beat both Kent and Tom. Kent beats out Tom by a few tenths of a second, being demoted to the alleged fastest man in the school, which he is not. Coach Herndon yells out to Eddie, that was a 9.3. Great job. Coach Herndon, showing some positive expression regarding Eddie's time is a clear indication that she is impressed. She is usually a bit more reserved. Eddie and the rest of his buddies exchange high fives. Walking over, Kent and Tom also give the track stars a high five. Braden boldly informs Kent and Tom that they will be running the 440-yard dash next. Kent, the dethroned alpha male, dare not decline. To decline would be worse than losing, telling everyone they chose to forfeit rather than compete. The word forfeit is not in Kent's or Tom's vocabulary. The football coach, Coach Larry Morris, walks over and asks the football players, "What do we got going on here?" Coach Herndon answers for them, "A little bit of unofficial competition, I would think." Braden chimes in, telling Coach Herndon, "And we're not done yet. We're running the 440-yard dash, and I'm gonna kick everyone's ass." Coach Morris asks, "Who won the 100? Braden replies, "Eddie did. But I'm winning the 440. Ain't no one beating me in my race." Coach Morris asks Kent, "Are you guys racing them again?" Kent replies, "Yeah." Coach Morris, up for a little competition himself, asks Coach Herndon, "Do you have any objection?" Coach Herndon proudly replies, "Not at all, sir. We can put Johnson in too, unless anyone objects." No one objects, so Coach Herndon blows her whistle and yells out, "Johnson, get over here." Coach Morris tells Tom, "Go get Schmidt. We'll put him in too." Apparently, Daniel Schmidt, a wide receiver, is the best the football team has to offer in a 440-yard competition. Coach Morris blows his whistle, telling his team to leave the track and to stand off to the side. Unlike a certain school principal, the football team is smart enough to stay out of the red zone and off the track when a competition is in progress. Schmidt, wearing number 11, and Johnson arrive at the starting line. Both are informed that they will be running a 440-yard dash. Joining them is Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Mitchell from the track team, and Kent, wearing number 25, and Tom, wearing number 44, from the football team. Coach Herndon tells her timekeepers, "Get times on our guys, and get me very accurate times. Get times on the football players too." Each timekeeper has two stopwatches, so catching their times should be easy. The starter announces, "On your marks." The football players look over at the track stars as if they are waiting for the ball to be snapped. The track team, however, is very focused, knowing that there is a lot at stake in this race. The starter announces, "Set," as she waits for the football players to get set in the blocks. Braden exclaims, "Here we go." The gun is fired, and the eight runners are out of the blocks. Surprisingly, the football players are out of the blocks quickly, but at 20 yards into the race, the track team has clearly taken the lead. As the runners are a quarter way around the track, they have the full attention of both the track team and the football team. At the halfway mark, Braden is clearly in front, perhaps running his best race ever. Eddie and Mark are right up there with Braden, giving Braden the impression he is not running quite as fast as he thought. Braden steps it up as Eddie pushes him to his limit. As the runners come out of the final curve, Kathy and Paula anxiously wait at the finish line. Next to them is Coach Herndon, who is timing Braden herself. For some reason, Coach Herndon is most interested in Braden's time. The five timekeepers focus intently at the finish line as the runners rapidly approach. In the race to the finish, Braden leads the pack, not relenting in the least. Braden crosses first, kicking everyone's ass just as he announced earlier. Eddie finishes in second place, with Mark on his heels. Johnson, finishing in fourth place, delivers an awesome time. And Mitchell, the distance star, delivers an exemplary performance that impresses everyone. Kathy, peeking at one of the timekeeper's watches, cheers wildly. As expected by some, the three football players trail the track team, fighting it out among themselves as to who will win within their group. Daniel Schmidt, finishing in sixth place, takes the title of being the fastest football player at this distance. Kent finishes in seventh place, and Tom finishes in eighth place, a little farther behind than they were expecting. As the football players look over at the track stars, they wonder where these guys came from. As the timekeepers compile the times, Braden exclaims, "Ain't nobody faster than me. I'm the chiefest kicker around here. Braden knows he ran a great race. Braden continues to rant, now, it's time for me to show everyone how to kick a football. Ain't nobody better than me at that either. Braden's rant can be heard by all, including John Smith, the kicker for the football team. One of the other players tells Smith, it looks like he's throwing you a challenge. Smith laughs and replies, let him bring it on. He can't kick farther than me. Provided with the compiled times from the timekeepers, Coach Herndon blows her whistle, yelling out, everyone listen up. Here are the times. Braden. Coach Herndon, having trouble containing herself, tries again, Braden, 45.3 seconds. What Coach Herndon is impressed with is that Braden can consistently deliver a time of 45.3 seconds in this race. Coach Herndon continues, Boganskaya, 45.5 seconds. Svoboda, 45.6 seconds. Johnson, 45.9 seconds. Mitchell, 49.8 seconds. Number 11, you ran it in 58.9 seconds. Number 25, 67.3 seconds. And number 44, you ran 68.3 seconds. Braden exclaims, where's that football? Ain't nobody can kick that football farther than me. John Smith, the kicker, looks over at Coach Morris, who tells him, what are you waiting for? Are you just going to stand there and lose by default? Braden exclaims, yeah. Are you just gonna stand there? Let's get this ball as kicking underway. Some of the football players don't really know what to make of Braden. Braden is more fired up than they've ever gotten during a football game. Coach Herndon tells her sprinters, okay. I want half of you on the track, running your favorite drill. The other half, get on the training sleds. Braden, get over to the practice field, and let's see how far you can kick the football. Braden heads through the tunnel and over to the practice field, and is joined by Eddie and Mark. Johnson and Mitchell forego the entertainment, and train with the team. Coach Herndon tells Dr. Braun, I'm going to go and watch this, sir, if you don't mind. Dr. Braun informs Coach Herndon, go right ahead. Let me know how he does. I'm kind of curious myself. Coach Herndon is now curious how far Braden can kick a football, but is more interested in whether Braden will deliver in kicking a football as well as he promised. After Braden trades his spikes for a more appropriate shoe, Eddie and Mark join Braden and Coach Herndon on the way to the football practice field. On the way, Eddie asks Braden, do you think you can beat that guy? Braden replies, I'm kicking his ass and the ball at the same time. Mark reminds everyone, I remember when you tried out for football. You kicked the ball clear into the end zone. Braden replies, I'm even better now. When I was in the police academy, we played a lot of football games. It was the recruits against the officers. We beat them. Then, they wanted a rematch. And we won again. We played them a few times, and they never beat us. On the practice field, John Smith proudly announces, I'll set the standard for today. Braden replies, go ahead. I'll set the next standard. Braden informs everyone, we're putting the ball on the 20-yard line, cause otherwise it's going past the end zone. Both Smith and Coach Morris strongly suspect that Braden is bluffing, but they humor Braden and place the ball on the 20-yard line. Coach Herndon, however, has learned that Braden does not bluff, but rather delivers. Smith gets 10 yards behind the ball and, with his whole team watching, is ready to deliver. As Smith gets set, Braden comments, my grandmother can kick farther than that. Smith, somewhat annoyed, looks at Braden and exclaims, I hadn't kicked it yet. Braden, all fired up, replies, exclaiming, it don't matter none. Smith, not at all familiar with psychological warfare, gets set a second time. The coach blows his whistle, and the kickoff competition is underway. Utilizing the standard football kickoff technique, Smith jogs a few steps, quickly picks up the pace, and connects with the ball. The ball soars through the air, with everyone around watching as it returns from the air. Landing on the 23-yard line, Smith's kick comes in at 57 yards. A lot of the team members clap, as they all know 57 yards is quite a good kick. It was not, however, Smith's best kick. Now it's Braden's turn. Braden visualizes the ball as McCutcheon's ass, Jimmy O'Brien's ass, and Andy Goldstein's ass all rolled into one tidy leather case. With three asses to kick, the ball will be kicked and it will be kicked hard. With the ball set, Braden takes a few practice steps to get his timing perfect. Braden thinks to himself, okay, that's McCutcheon's, O'Brien's, and Goldschitt's ass. And I'll add in Mr. Crumb for an extra point. That's their asses, and I'm kicking them all. Braden is now ready. Coach Morris blows the whistle, and Braden takes off from a position that is a far cry from the normal kickoff position. Getting up to speed quickly, Braden quickly breaks to the left, approaching the target. Braden, visualizing the ball as the S caravan, kicks the ball with all the strength he has. The ball soars through the air, passing clear over the 23-yard line, passing through the uprights, and landing beyond the end zone. Braden exclaims, "How's that? This is kicking is over. I did it again." Eddie and Mark each give Braden a high five, celebrating Braden's victory. Coach Morris shakes his head and exclaims, "I can't believe it." Walking over to Coach Herndon, Coach Morris exclaims, "I can't believe it. Who is that guy?" Coach Herndon proudly replies, "That's Axel Braden, sir. He's our chief ass kicker." Still not believing what he saw, Coach Morris asks, "Is he on scholarship?" If Braden were not on scholarship, Braden would be fair game to be recruited by the football team. Coach Herndon replies, "He is. We signed him this year." That was the last thing Coach Morris wanted to hear, but it is what it is. Meanwhile, as the coaches are talking, Braden yells out to Eddie and Mark, "That was one of my better ones." Eddie yells out to Braden, "Yo, bro. You must have been practicing." Braden walks over and confesses, "Yeah, a little. And I also bought a shot put. I've been throwing it for fun. When I was in the police academy, all I did was work out." Mark suggests, "Maybe you should go over and try out Bobby B's shot put." Eddie adds, "We should all go over there and make sure he's been taking proper care of it." Braden laughs, not hearing this line of discussion in a long time. Coach Morris, joined by John Smith, comes over to congratulate Braden, telling him, "I still can't believe it. That was the farthest kickoff I've ever seen, and I've been around this sport my whole life." Braden replies, "Thank you. Thank you." Coach Morris asks, "How did you ever learn to kick like that?" Braden replies, "I've been practicing, but I got really good at it after taking physics class last year." Puzzled, Coach Morris asks, "Physics class?" Braden replies, "Yeah. Miss Amherst explained that the greater the wind resistance of an object moving through the air, the lower the angle should be. I think I got my kickoff angle down just right." Braden continues, "So, I'm watching football on TV. These guys punt the ball, trying to keep it in the air for a long time. Then, they wonder why they can only punt it 35 yards. Yeah, it's up in the air for a long time, but what good is a 35-yard punt? It's gonna end in a fair catch. And everyone thinks that 45 degrees will get you the longest punt or kickoff. It won't. The angle is a lot less than 45 degrees because of wind resistance. I got my angles down." Impressed with Braden's understanding of physics, Coach Morris asks, "What's the optimal angle?" Braden replies, "It depends on how far you can kick it. The drag force is proportional to the square of the speed. So my angle is different when I punt the ball compared to when I kick off." Braden goes on, explaining the physics behind kicking a football to the football coach, who should already know what Braden is explaining, but does not. During Braden's dissertation, Eddie comments to Mark, "Braden sounds smart." Mark replies, "Yeah. He remembered all that shit from physics class." Eddie comments, "He does have a point. Punters always go for a long hang time, but that's at the expense of distance. It seems like the whole purpose of punting the ball is to get it as far down the field as you can." Mark replies, "Yeah. You would think. And if the players are fast enough, the kicking team would get there before the punt is caught." Eddie adds, "Miss Amherst really knew what she was talking about." Of course she did. Her valuable information helped Eddie and Bobby B break the state record in the discus and shot put. While Eddie and Mark were discussing physics, Braden is now getting ready to show the football team how to punt the football. Eddie mentions, "It looks like Braden is getting ready to punt." Mark replies, "Well, he's always been good at kicking things, especially asses." Calling the play-by-play, Mark announces, "Here we go. It's 4th and 20. They call in the special teams to get rid of the ball. You know, they really have little choice in this situation, Eddie. Braden is standing on the 10-yard line, and he looks confident. The ball is snapped right into Braden's hands. Braden sets up, and wow. Eddie, can you believe it? Did you hear that? When he connected, it sounded like a cannon went off. Check out that hang time. And look at that. They are going to let it take a bounce." Braden punted from the 10-yard line. The ball lands clear across the field on the 29-yard line, giving a distance of 61 yards in the air. The ball rolls toward the end zone, but the bounce and roll is not what anyone is interested in. Coach Morris, seeing where the ball landed, is quite amazed. So is Smith, whose average punt is in the upper 30-yard range. But no one is more impressed with Braden's punt more than Braden, exclaiming, "That's 3 as-kickings in one day. I'm the chief as-kicker on the track, and on the football field too." Braden tells Smith, "It's your turn." Smith knows he cannot match Braden's punt, but nevertheless is pressured to try. Smith gets positioned 10 yards behind the center. Mark, standing with Eddie, again gives the play-by-play, announcing, "Again, it's 4th and long, and they are in a sticky situation. The ball is snapped." Smith almost bobbles the ball, but he gets it off right before he is greeted by 3 defenders trying to crash the party and block the punt. "What's this? Wow. It looks like the ball just might cross midfield. Oh no. Wait. It didn't quite make it. The ball looks like it landed just shy of the 50-yard line. They've marked it at the 49-yard line. With 39 yards in the air, we can't exactly put that one in the record books, Eddie." Eddie laughs and asks Mark, "Do you want to try out for football again?" Mark replies, "If I try out, it will be just to mess with them. I don't want to play." Hearing exactly what he wanted to hear, Coach Morris is quite amused as Braden exclaims, "Is anybody up for another ass kicking? How about a field goal? Who's ready to get their ass kicked?" Braden then looks at Smith, exclaiming, "I'll even let you go first. Go ahead. Set the standard. We'll see how long it stands." Coach Morris, curious of what Braden can do, looks at Smith, telling him, "What are you waiting for?" Coach Morris whispers to Coach Herndon, "Do you know if he can kick a field goal?" Coach Herndon whispers back, "I've never seen him not deliver what he promises, sir. He's never let me down." Coach Morris yells out to his team, "Set up for a field goal at the 39-yard line. I want to see a 46-yard attempt. Second string will be playing defense." Coach Morris, wanting to push Smith to his limit, knows that Smith's longest field goal of last season was 45 yards. Taking advantage of the current circumstances, the coach wants to push his kicker to the limit. As the team gets set, Braden laughs and tells Coach Morris, "I already won. But go ahead and have him kick the ball anyway. Somebody needs to break that ball in." Coach Morris wishes that, somehow, he could instill Braden's confidence and attitude into his team. Smith positions himself 5 yards behind the 46-yard line, knowing that he must deliver. As Smith gets set, Braden stands with his arms crossed, not the least bit concerned about his competition. Smith, attempting a personal best, is quite nervous. But losing to Braden in both the kickoff and punt, Smith knows he must deliver. The coach blows his whistle, and the center prepares to snap the ball. The ball is snapped. The holder quickly positions the ball, which is carefully watched by Braden. Smith approaches and, with perfect timing, connects with the ball. With everyone's eyes on the ball soars through the air as it approaches the uprights. Clearing the bar by just inches, Smith's attempt is the success Coach Morris was looking for. Smith, walking away with a renewed sense of confidence, is very encouraged to hear his team cheer. Coach Morris asks Braden, "How far do you think you can kick it?" Braden energetically replies, "Gimme 65 yards. I'm kicking ass today. Ain't nothing stopping me." Making a big mistake, Coach Morris tells Braden, "You can't kick a 65-yard field goal." Braden exclaims, "What are you talking about? I already kicked that ball through the uprights from 80 yards away." Coach Morris informs Braden, "This is different. This is a field goal. Accuracy matters." Braden exclaims, "I want you to tell me something. What's the difference if that ball is in a tee or being held by somebody?" "There ain't no difference, except for maybe one. That tee ain't gonna flinch when it sees me coming." Coach Morris tells his team, "Okay. You heard him. Set it up for a 65-yard attempt." Now even more fired up, Braden tells Coach Morris, "Forget that shit. Set it up for 70 yards. Eddie and Mark watch as the football team gets set. Again calling the play-by-play, Mark announces, "Here we go again, Eddie. It's fourth down and 18 yards to go." They are calling in the special teams to punt. "No. Wait. What's this? I don't believe it, Eddie." They are calling in the field goal unit. "I don't know what the coach is thinking here, Eddie, but it looks like they are going to attempt a 70-yard field goal. This really makes no sense this early in the game. It's only their first possession, and they are going to attempt a 70-yard field goal. Is that crazy, or what?" The football team gets set, with the holder positioned for a 70-yard field goal. Braden tells the holder, "I want you to hold that ball steady, and don't you dare flinch." The holder confidently replies, "You got it." Braden then gets into position. Breaking standard protocol, Braden stands at the 16-yard line directly behind the ball. Fully expecting Braden to fail, Coach Morris shakes his head, wondering whether Braden even knows what he is doing. Getting into position, Braden visualizes the ball as Mr. Crump's ass, and the goalpost as a jail cell. Braden verbalizes, "Okay. That's Mr. Crumb's flimsy ass, and I'm sending his fat ass to prison. This is my one and only chance of putting Mr. Crumb's ass away for good. I'll teach his ass to send me to detention." Braden is now ready. Coach Morris blows his whistle, and the center gets ready to snap the ball. Resuming the play-by-play, Mark announces, "I still don't believe it. They are really going for the field goal, Eddie." Braden is standing on the 16-yard line, and he looks very confident. "Here we go." The ball is snapped. The holder quickly positions the ball as Braden approaches the ball like a lightning bolt. "Wow. Can you even believe it? Did you hear that? It'd be a wonder if that football even survived that kick. I can't believe it, Eddie. The kick is dead center. But does it have enough distance? And the kick is good. Axel Braden just delivered a 70-yard field goal. This is one for the record books. Braden exclaims, what did I tell you? 70 yards by the chiefest kicker. Smith looks over at Braden, wondering how it is that Braden just unofficially broke the collegiate and NFL record. Braden walks over to Eddie and Mark, who both give him a high five. Coach Morris shakes his head and exclaims, I just can't believe it. Who in the world is this guy? Coach Herndon proudly replies, I told you, sir. That's Axel Braden. He's our one and only chief as kicker. Coach Morris repeats, I just can't believe it. Coach Herndon tells Braden, good job. Good job. In a military tone, Braden replies, thank you. Thank you. Coach Herndon tells Braden, Mark, and Eddie, let's go get a workout in. Again, in a military tone, Braden replies, yes, ma'am. As the track stars and their coach head to the track, Coach Morris is quite disappointed that he cannot sign Braden. Not happy that his place kicker falls a bit short, Coach Morris tells his team, okay. We have a lot of work to do. Let's get out there on the field and get to work. Coach Morris, hearing of the talent that has been recruited by the track team, sincerely wishes the university could share that talent with the football team. With the sideline entertainment now over, Eddie, Mark, and Braden, along with Coach Herndon, head back to the track, where the sprinters are running the interval training drill. As Coach Herndon approaches the track, she sees some of the runners slacking off, while others are training hard. Mark comments to Eddie, it looks like McCrutchen gave out. Eddie replies, I can see that. You weren't even around to mess with him. Coach Herndon, listening to Mark and Eddie's exchange, is taking it all in, clearly seeing that she is not the only one frustrated with McCutcheon. When they all get to the track, Eddie, Mark, and Braden join the workout. After the workout, the team heads to the locker room. Since they are not officially on the team yet, Eddie, Mark, Braden, Mitchell, and Bobby B. all used unassigned lockers in the corner of the locker room. As they are getting dressed, Braden hears Leggett whisper to McCutcheon, asking, so, those guys are good at everything? McCutcheon replies, yeah. If I knew they were going to this school, I would have gone somewhere else. Knowing that Mark is the king of psychological warfare, McCutcheon warns Leggett, watch out for that Mark guy. That guy is like a wrecking ball during a meet. Leggett asks, so, what does he do? McCutcheon explains, he messes with everyone, and he always wins. But, he'd probably win anyway without messing with anyone. So, he only messes with everyone just to be a pain in the ass. Braden files what he hears, adding it to the other suspicious activity he has seen with McCutcheon and Leggett. When Eddie, Mark, Braden, Mitchell, and Bobby B., were granted admission to the university and given track scholarships, they were encouraged to work out with the track team. They were also granted permission to use the university's gym. After all, the university would hate for them to get out of shape, and it costs the university literally nothing to allow the incoming freshman track stars to use the gym. Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Bobby B., who have all been working out together, head to the university gym one afternoon. The nicely appointed gym is a far cry from the gym at the high school. With 10,000 square feet of free weights, machines, rowing machines, treadmills, and stair climbers, the gym is a state-of-the-art facility. But, this particular gym is closed to the general university population and is only for the use of athletes on a university team and certain select individuals whose parents give huge sums of money to the school. Entering the gym, Bobby B. asks, what are we working today? Mark, who has been laying brick, answers, I think I'm working my lower body. I've been using my upper body a whole lot working on the house. Bobby B., who has no shortage of quick comebacks these days, replies, really? I thought working on your house was a leisurely break from working out. Mark answers Bobby B.'s sarcasm, replying, I'll give you some of the heavy work tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Bobby B. replies, yeah. I'll carry a pallet of bricks up to you on the scaffold. The verbal wrestling match between Mark and Bobby B. comes to a quick end when Eddie comments, we're definitely doing lower body today. Pointing to one of the squat racks, Eddie informs everyone, there's McCrutchen, Lug Nut, and two other guys doing squats. Immediately, a smile comes across Mark's face. Just seeing someone to mess with raises the group's energy level. Braden reminds everyone, this looks like it's gonna be a reunion of when we messed with Ambrosini in gym class that day when we were freshmen. Eddie replies, yeah. I remember that. We really worked them over good. The group is now ready for some competition. Whether it be physical or psychological is yet to be seen. As Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Bobby B. approach the squat racks as if they own the gym, McCutchen gets a sudden burst of energy. McCutchen has been beaten by Mark on the track and in the arena of psychological warfare for 7 years. He is not about to be beaten by Mark and his buddies in the weight room. McCutchen sees this as an opportunity to redeem his psyche and level the playing field a bit. As he sees Mark approaching, Leggett tells McCutchen, here comes the wrecking ball that you talked about. McCutchen replies, and he brought half the wrecking crew with him. Greg, one of McCutchen's other buddies, asks, who are those guys? McCutchen explains, they are going to be on the track team next year. They are sprinters. Greg informs McCutchen, sprinters have nothing but fast twitch muscles. They may be fast but, generally speaking, they are weak. There's a trade-off between strength and speed. Greg Anderson, an exercise science major, just gave McCutchen a little bit of encouragement. Greg, however, really should be spending more time studying, for he is not exactly correct in his assessment regarding sprinters and fast twitch muscles. Greg's brother, Michael, who is working out with McCutchen and Leggett, is a liberal arts major and is always trying to keep up with his younger brother. Neither Greg nor Michael is on a sports team and are using the gym today courtesy of Leggett who, breaking the school rules, let them through the door. Ready to mess with McCutchen, Eddie and his buddies walk up to the squat rack. Eddie asks, how much are we going to start with? Looking over at McCutcheon's group and seeing 135 pounds on their squat rack, Mark replies, how about 135 pounds? Eddie comments, wow. That's a lot of weight. Mark tells Eddie, you can probably do it. Eddie loads the bar with two 45-pound weight plates, and Bobby B. goes first. Getting under the bar, Bobby B. does a few warm-up repetitions at 135 pounds. Eddie follows suit and is followed by Mark and Braden. This weight is nothing for the tribe, who squatted far more weight than this when they were in the ninth grade. McCutchen discreetly looks over, wondering how much weight Eddie and Mark can squat. Once Braden finishes his set, he exclaims, now, it's down to business. It's time to get down. Eddie comments, it was kind of light. But it was good for a warm-up. Mark and Eddie raise the weight to 225 pounds. McCutchen comments to his group, here it comes. They are going to show off. Leggett stares at Bobby B. as he walks up to the squat rack. Momentarily looking over at McCutcheon's group as they stare, Bobby B. asks, what are you looking at? McCutchen answers with a question, asking, are you going to squat that? Bobby B. replies, no. Bobby B. lifts the bar off the squat rack and presses the 225-pound bar overhead 10 times. Bobby B. then gets under the bar and does 10 repetitions of squats. Stepping away from the squat rack, Bobby B. tells McCutchen, it's your turn. Step right up. McCutchen ignores Bobby B., but glances over from time to time as Eddie and Mark do their sets of squats with the 225-pound bar. While Braden is doing his set, McCutchen and Leggett raise the weight on their bar to 155 pounds. Bobby B. asks McCutchen, Are you going to squat that? McCutcheon replies, yeah. Bobby B., stepping up the psychological warfare game, tells McCutcheon, why? You've already done your warm-up set. Leggett tells McCutcheon, just ignore them. With the weight raised to 315 pounds, Bobby B. walks up to the bar, looks over at Leggett, telling him, yeah. Ignore us. And ignore this too. Bobby B. places his hands on the 315 pound bar and presses it overhead a few times. Getting under the bar, Bobby B. then does his requisite set of squats. Eddie goes next. While Eddie is doing his set, McCutcheon watches intently, not believing what he is seeing. Not wanting to be shown up, McCutcheon gets under the 225 pound bar on his squat rack, attempting a personal record. Mark watches as McCutcheon raises the bar off the rack. Seeing McCutcheon's unsteadiness, Mark tells Eddie he's going down. Watch this. McCutcheon lowers the bar into the squatted position and, halfway down, he loses his balance. Falling to the right, McCutcheon loses control of the bar, dumping the weights off the bar as he falls to the ground. Crashing to the floor, McCutcheon is slow to get up. Mark comments to Eddie, well, I guess that didn't go exactly as planned. Directing his attention to Eddie and Mark, Leggett gets angry and exclaims, hey, what's wrong with you guys? Mark replies, it looks like McCutcheon is the one with the problem. He's kind of dangerous in the gym. Eddie comments, yeah. And he's kind of dangerous on the track too. Finally, after 5 years, McCutcheon steps up, yelling at Mark, exclaiming, what did you just call me? Mark calmly replies, McCutcheon. McCutcheon exclaims, it's McCutcheon. Mark replies, that's what I said, McCutcheon. Turning up the heat a bit, Eddie mentions to Mark, I thought his name is McClutching. Mark tells Eddie, no. It's McCutcheon. McClutching is his brother, Scott. Eddie replies, oh, yeah. That's right. McCutcheon and McClutching. Got it. Bobby B. laughs at Eddie and Mark's exchange, realizing what he has been missing during the meets. Getting a little bent out of shape, McCutcheon attempts to take a quick and meaningless jab at Mark's shoulder. With superior reflexes, Mark quickly steps back and to the side, avoiding the jab. Mark exclaims, this is called the rope-a-dope. Eddie, who is loading the bar with more weight, tells Mark that would make McCutcheon the dope. Braden steps up and, sounding a bit like Mr. Zunday, tells McCutcheon and Leggett, hey, chill out. If you guys have any differences with anyone, settle it on the track or on the squat rack. Leggett bluntly tells Braden, hey, shut up. Braden informs Leggett, you're the one who better shut their ass up. We kick your fat ass on the track, and now in here too. Realizing that they are outclassed, McCutcheon and Leggett's buddies tell them, hey, let's just get back to our workout. Braden interjects, that would be a good idea. Get your ass back to your workout. Mark adds, yeah. Get that chicken fat back to the chicken, Junior. Leggett and McCutcheon say nothing more, realizing any further discussion will not end well. Bobby B. approaches the squat rack and, getting under the bar, prepares to squat 405 pounds. McCutcheon and his crew watches as Bobby B. lowers the bar. From the full squat position, Bobby B. raises the bar. As if that is not enough, Bobby B. does a few more repetitions. Fear is struck into McCutcheon seeing Bobby B. squat 405 pounds several times. But Bobby B. is obviously nowhere near his limit. And, providing even more entertainment for McCutcheon, Eddie gets under the 405-pound bar and is able to squat the weight. Mark and Braden follow suit, leaving McCutcheon wondering why he is able to only squat in the 185 to 200-pound range on a good day. Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Bobby B. move on to doing leg extensions, hamstring curls, and calf raises. McCutcheon, Leggett, and their two friends steer clear of Eddie and his group. McCutcheon, however, keeps a watchful eye on his competition. Braden catches a glimpse of McCutcheon staring their way several times, most notably when Eddie or Mark are doing their set. Braden is certain that McCutcheon is more of a problem than he originally thought. On the way to the locker room, McCutcheon thinks to himself that Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Bobby B can all squat a weight that McCutcheon cannot lift by any means at all. Recalling that Eddie can run 100 yards in 9.2 seconds, McCutcheon's mid-10-second range in the same race doesn't quite measure up. And, as best McCutcheon can recall, Eddie, Mark, and Braden can all run the 440-yard dash in the 46-to-47-second range. And Johnson, who is part of this group, is currently the fastest sprinter on the team. McCutcheon quickly realizes that he will not win against this group, on the track or off. McCutcheon's jealousy and envy are clearly out of control.